Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am your host, Zoinks, and joined by my two wonderful co-hosts, Bridget and Doofsnacks, yet again. It has been a pretty exciting whirlwind of news. I feel like last week we had so much UCS news and things to go over, and well, UCS is literally happening next weekend. Another wave of data mines has hit the game, and we know so much more about what's coming to the actual video game that we all play. So let's go. We got a lot to talk about, but before we even get to that, I gotta hear how my two best friends in the whole wide world are doing, starting in order of how much I like them. Bridget, talk to me. Of course, that's not true. Don't quote that. Bridget, please, how have you been? How have the games in Unite been recently?
It's been good, actually. I hit Masters.
Okay, sick.
I did hit Masters, so W. I've even climbed. I'm like 1350-ish, so I've been playing Trick Koopa. If you've seen me on ladder, I'm not sorry.
Okay.
It's really fun.
Fair enough. Trick Koopa's a super fun Pokemon. I think it's awesome. I love Portal Hoopa too, though, but yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying your life over there on Trick Koopa. Doofsnacks, how about you? How have the games been this season? Anything better? You had a pretty... You were not liking last season, so how are you feeling on this brand new one?
Doing better. Doing much better this season than last. Can't complain about that. Desperately fighting, like strategically fighting to try and get my Sableye win rate back up to 50%. It is an impossible task, as it would seem, but... Other than that, things are going well, man. Things are going well.
Good to hear. I'm glad. Well, I am happy to announce that I have also joined my co-hosts in the Masters Club. I was finally able to hit it last night. I was feeling pretty good about that. I took... some great bit of work to break me out of the elo that I threw myself in at the start of the season. I said to my stream before, I may have memed a little too hard at the beginning of this specific season, and it was tough to climb out of, but it's okay. We made it. We hit Masters, and now I'm back to just playing Ghost Pokemon again, which we might have to have more, which is like both an amazing fact and a devastating fact for my ghost type challenges that I'm doing, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I realized I didn't change the topic on stream. I'll change that in a moment, but we are going to be talking about a bunch of stuff today. Of course, we have a ton of in-game news via Datamine. Of course, everyone's favorite data miner, El Chico Eevee, got to work again with a new PTS update. There's a lot of brand new stuff coming. But last weekend, I wanted to mention it. Doofsnacks, you and I on the Unite Mics channel, we ran the run-up tournament. So a Unite tournament utilizing Unite Championship Series rules. It was essentially a global event. We had a lot of different regions represented. I think we had about 40 teams enter, and it was an unbelievably good time. Doofsnacks, what did you think of the run-up tournament that happened this Saturday?
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great to see these teams scrap it out. For those that didn't tune in, Nouns Esports did get the fat dubski, and Nemesis kind of roared through using kind of things that are near and dear to their heart, like Sableye, near and dear to mine as well, and were able to find their way into the finals, which is sick. Like, that's just great for NA, UCS chatter to begin with. So notably missing out of this tournament was LG, but a lot of other big gamers were in there. And at the end of the day, when the dust settled, Nouns over Nemesis in the finals 3-1.
Yeah, it was a fun finals too. Nemesis was able to get a W on the board because, of course, grand finals, we have the winner side start with a 1-0 advantage. So Nouns Esports won 2, Nemesis won 1. But it was an exciting one. And yes, you're right, Sableye did exist. To round out our top four for everybody, we had Nouns Esports 1, Nemesis 2. Then we had Liztomania, which is Reggie's team. I can take a look at that right now on screen,
Reggie,
if you're watching.
Sherlock Dash,
Reggie, Sherlock Dash, Bozzy, and I've been pronouncing it Utilam, or Utilam. I'm not sure. Anyway, they got third place, Latam North Demon Squad, and Nemesis and Baltoy getting fourth. So that was our top four, and then Alter Ego and Team YouTube being fifth, sixth, just behind them. So a pretty sick event. Yeah, notably LG missing. But Bridget, were you able to catch any of the run-up tournament?
I was mostly, I watched like the very beginning and like the very end.
Okay.
Because I might have taken a nap. But,
fair.
It was awesome. It was cool to see like a global, another pretty much global tourney leading into UCS. So it'll be kind of fun to see how everyone performs within their regions after kind of getting some clashes across.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see how it all rolls out. I mean, seeing these teams kind of compete in these open bracket things before. Oh, sorry, Bridget. I think we lost you on internet-wise again. But I get pretty pumped about seeing these open, like open off-season, whatever you want to call them, brackets, especially when we get multi-region. It's very funny to get an early look. I say funny because, you know, sometimes ping can get wild. Sometimes regional differentials can get wild in terms of bracket run-ups and stuff, but overall I thought it was pretty stellar. Deucenex, other than I guess the Nemesis Sableye was your original call out, but was there anything that really surprised you from teams this weekend, whether like a team that really surged and did well, or a team that potentially surprised you, or maybe the opposite?
Well, it's hard to say that Nemesis didn't surprise a bunch of people, right? You know, I think if you would have pulled up our 40 teams and taking a look, there's not a lot of people that would have called out Nemesis, myself included, to make the grand finals. So that in and of itself is pretty exciting, and also exciting that they did it in their own fashion, right? Like used you know, Rex to Sableye, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that surprised me, but not really, is, you know, when you do these types of events and we open it up to everywhere on the planet for anybody that wants to game, you know, the ping differentials are a real thing. And I think a couple quality teams might have gotten bit by that bug. So that's a bit of a bummer. However, that's just the texture of the event. Yeah. So can't really work around that too much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll say that was my biggest surprise and most exciting thing was Nemesis. Because they went so far, they did great.
Cool. Yeah, they're an amazing squad. If you are tuning in and you're kind of new to the competitive esports scene, make sure you keep an eye on this team. And of course, the players on it they're filling out is Rex, Aznable, Yeetfan, Metallic, Relentless, and Trainer, I believe is the last one here who's listed as the alternate right now. But a really phenomenal squad. So, so fun to watch. Incredible players. Multiple Worlds qualified players and just old competitive hats too. So a really, really good team. I have them ranked extremely highly on my preseason.
It's hard not to. And just, you know, for, you know, the newest entities to this, you know, to join with Aznable, Yeet, and Trainer is Relentless and Rex, who are believers who is going to actually round out that five. I think Metallic was the sub. I know, obviously, Rex, OG Nemesis, pretty known quantity. For those that don't know Relent, I mean, Relent has been grinding this game in stacks. Absolute menace. The work ethic is there with them. They've put a lot of time in improving and getting better, making sure that they're ready for this opportunity, this team. So to your point, I'm very excited to watch them play.
Yeah,
honestly, I think it's going to be dope.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I think a team that easily has a top four finish potential and a team that I think could be one of the squads that could square up to LG and take a win. I think it would be stealing a win, but I think it definitely could happen. But yeah, it's going to be a fun squad to watch for sure. North America, definitely chock full of talent. I think there's LG clearly at the top, but after that, it gets kind of crazy. But we had some great LATAM teams, some great EU teams participating as well. Definitely a lot of squads to be keeping our eyes on, especially with the qualifiers coming up, which is pretty cool. But we did, in terms of a bit of housekeeping as well, we wanted to say in total, we were able to sell, I think it was 65? Is that right? 64?
Just shy. 64.
Okay.
64 shirts.
Yep. We were able to sell 64 Hundo Burger t-shirts. Of course, that is the piece of merch, our first piece of merch that we've designed for Unite Mics. It was created by Neo Cloudbuster. And people were exclamation mark shirting all over in our chat and stuff. So thank you very much for everybody for supporting. And of course, it supported the event. And that's really cool. We were able to increase the prize pool from the starting pot of 150 all the way up to 750 because of the shirt sales, which is incredible. It was a really, really cool thing that we were able to do for the squad. So maybe one day we'll put out another piece of merch. And I know myself, and I'm pretty sure Dupes and X did too, we picked up a couple of the extra shirts for ourselves just in case we want to run some giveaway action in the future. So if you missed out on your chance to pick up a Hundo Burger t-shirt, hopefully in the future we will have another potential chance for you to jump on it, but because it's a pretty sick shirt. So thank you everybody for the massive amount of support.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to see people come through. Like you said, supporting and making sure that we can, it outperformed my expectations, which is obviously phenomenal. You know, you had individuals like Spraggles come through and do their bounty, which helped, you know, gin it up a lot. You know, Gamma, who bought three shirts, you know, so they could get them out around to other individuals. You know, Neo Cloudbuster themselves, Cloudbuster bought two shirts, you know. So when you start including all these individuals that have really kind of gone above and beyond, it helps a bunch. So many thanks to them as well.
Yeah, could not agree more. We got a pretty amazing community, and when they show up to support us, it feels incredible. So thank you everybody for doing that. And we're really pumped that we were able to like dump that right back into the community and support some competitive games. So that was awesome. But yeah, I think that was the run up. I don't know if there's too much more to talk about. I feel like meta wise, it was relatively what you would expect. I think for the meta game at this point in time, Leafeon's crazy, but other than that, it is all about finding a way to counter Buzzwool, in my opinion. You agree or disagree, but at this point, it feels like every single time you're into draft, you are picking something that gives you unstoppable or getting you a chance to get away from that Pokemon or power spike it earlier than Buzzwool, because it is incredibly strong. It's really been like a balance check in the meta, in my opinion. It's like, can you beat Buzzwool? No, you should probably pick something else. It is a staple across so many teams.
No, I agree completely. And first off, I just want to point out the reason we're not pitching to Bridget is she's fixing her audio. We're not like intentionally not including her in the conversation. for those of you watching here and listening at home later on. But no, I agree completely with your point. But what has come out of this is some really interesting stuff. And you and I talked about it on broadcast at the time, but worth mentioning again here for those that may have missed it, is what's really cool about what's happening in the meta right now. It is bringing old favorites back to the forefront. Or in the cases of some Pokemon like Crustle, it's giving them the kind of the first breath of competitive play they've really ever gotten without necessarily buffs and nerfs having baked into the equation, but just the texture of things that have developed around other buffs and nerfs, which is really cool. So like Lucario is coming through and it's being played in the East and in the West now and seeing some decent success.
Dragonite? Because of it, yeah.
Hyper Beam Dragonite, Crustle we mentioned. So you know, all of that is particularly exciting to me. And the thing I wanted to one agree with you that yes, you know, you need to have a way to deal with Public Enemy number one in Buzzwool. But two, that's what's exciting to me more than just that, because when you just say that, it's like, man, that's kind of a easy dichotomy to break down. Well, it's more than that, because everything else that has shaped around it has completely changed, which is awesome, and it's setting the stage great for the kickoff of UCS season 3.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it also is a bit of a peek behind the curtain too of how metas develop and how players improve, because I think a couple of weeks ago I would say, well, yeah, I mean, they have Clefable, Umbreon, like, why are you picking Buzzwool? But I genuinely think that Buzz players have gotten good enough to play around hard counters on the enemy side in terms of your support core. I mean, you're gonna pick Umbreon, Clefable anyways, they're very, very powerful. It's fine to have those in response. But like, Buzz players are like, oh, but I can just full combo you with my Unite move. Like, before you can run out of a Mean Look Circle, I'll be fine. Like, I don't know. I think Buzz players have been rapidly improving, or at the very least, the top players have. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh crap, we gotta find something else, because that is shutting us down. One of the best solutions we have seen has been Leafeon. You literally grab Zatu in one buff, and you're already four, and you're showing up in lane when when the poor Buzzwole's only at level 3, and you're stomping them. Like, that's a really good run, and I think we saw it really found, maybe not discovered, but kind of proven by LG first in their own tournament a few weeks back. So that was really cool to see, and I think teams are starting to find, I feel like we are at the peak of Buzzwole dominating in this tournament now, of like, they've learned, they've adapted, and now it's teams trying to adapt to that again, which is really exciting, and I feel like maybe we don't give the meta enough credit sometimes, because I feel like we're in a pretty exciting one right now. So, personally, that's where I'm at. But Bridget has returned from the depths of audio hell. Bridget, how are you? We were just discussing Buzzwole and its incredible dominance over the metagame, but also how people, it seems like from the Unite Mics tournament that we just had this weekend, it feels like people are like, that's the main thing we're doing, is trying to discover Buzzwole counters, not only in support and as defenders, but in like top lane matchups. Do you agree with that? Oh, I don't know. I might have lost her again. Okay, hopefully she'll be back in just a second. But we'll jump her back. I think she is in. I don't know. Her connection sounded great when she first joined. But okay, to tell you the truth, I think we may have talked Buzzwole to death at this point in time. So I think, Deucenex, it is time, and Bridget, of course, when she returns, it is time to discuss the Unite leaks that have been absolutely flowing today. El Chico Eevee has been working Omega overtime on this today. If you're looking at their Twitter, by the way, probably the best place to go to read about any of those leaks will be at El Chico Eevee on Twitter. They got a great little rundown of every single one. But we have a lot to talk about. First and foremost, though, I think we can discuss the next three Pokemon to be coming towards the game have been announced. They are Maridon, which we kind of knew about, as an attacker, Phalanx as an all-rounder, and of course the final one being Seralege as an all-rounder. Deucenex, are there any of those three that you are excited about, worried about?
No, I'm not excited for any of them.
Okay.
So for like the Maridon, Caridon thing, in my mind, and I don't know why I had like my heart set on this, I thought we were going to get a new map with those two that you had to battle both in the middle. And that's like something I had locked in for no reason. Like, nothing made me think this beside my own just like hypothesis. So like when it was released as a character, and I was like, that seems like a missed opportunity of this invented scenario that I put out there. Could care less about Cerulege. I think Phalanx is great in the sense that like Dodrio is great. It's kind of like an off the wall pick. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. I think it's a little grief that it's another all rounder. That's a bit of a bummer. So yeah, I mean, more Pokemon, I guess. I hope they do cool stuff.
So at the end of the day, you were hoping for more defenders and more supporters. Is that fair to say?
That's fair, but also like Pokemon I like more. Like, I don't have an attachment to any of those Pokemon. I just don't.
You're making me cry, but that's okay. Bridget, maybe we got you this time. Out of those three
scared.
Pokemon, it's okay. You're here. Okay, Bridget, out of those three Pokemon, are you excited for any of them? Deucenex says he hates all of them. So any opinions from Bridget?
Those aren't even the words I said. All right, go, Bridget.
We gotta clip it for Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, as a Scarlet girly, I would have loved Caridon. I would have loved Armourouge.
Yeah.
I don't really care about their counterparts, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh my gosh. I am on an island on this podcast. All right, continue.
Okay, Phalanx I was kind of neutral towards, and then I saw its animation and its kit, and you can't tell me that's not one of the cutest things you've ever seen in your life.
It is so perfect in every way. I love that Pokemon. If you have a chance, please, if you are listening to this, pause it, go to YouTube, look up Phalanx gameplay, because it is so, so good. It's like every chance that they had to make a decision on how this Pokemon would look or feel, they chose the fun one in every aspect. And I think that Pokemon is going to be so, so awesome. Phalanx, obviously you're pretty excited for it, Bridget. Favorite animation that Phalanx has?
Ooh, that's hard. That's a hard
There's
one.
So many good ones.
The scoring one is sick.
It's the best scoring animation in the game, and it's not particularly close.
I'd be willing to agree with that.
You see other Pokemon scoring animations, and it actually just like makes you sad.
Yeah, you could have been.
Alex is so good.
Exactly.
I think I like when, I forget the name of the move, but when it leaves some of the little guys behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny to me. I don't know.
It's so
I'm
good.
Obsessed.
It's like, boys, get them. And then they just got to hang around. They got their own HP bars and they're just doing it. It's the best. I love this Pokemon. Okay. Because this is an audio podcast, that's what beat up looks like. You just leave a couple of your gang. I don't know what. to like the parts of Phalanx.
In the text, it says troopers.
Troopers. it's also adorable. The copy is adorable. Okay. Yes, that is adorable. That's great. The best animation, though, is the scoring animation. When they all stack on top of each other so they can reach the ring and score the points. I think that is so funny. I love it so much. So, big fan of that Pokemon. All right, well, let me kind of, I guess, be the arbiter of the other two when it comes to this podcast. Koridon, I'm not excited for another EX license, whatever. I am worried, and I've been hurt before, Unite. However, watching Koridon is pretty sick. Like, that Pokemon looks good. Like, it looks incredibly strong. But it looks fun. There's a few moves, I think, that I'm excited about compared to others. But, like, it looks broken strong. However, the Unite move from that Pokemon, Chris put out a clip of him just being like, okay, that looks so cool. It's like, if they made Mewtwo Unite cool, you basically just like move a giant cursor around the map, like an AC-130 on on the battlefield, and it's like just giant meteors rain down from the sky. I mean, that's sick. Like, I can't. I don't know what Koridon has to do with meteors. I guess Draco meteors, whatever.
I was gonna say, it's Draco meteor. Meteor.
Feels like a stretch, but whatever. We'll allow
it. Are you serious? Have you seen Draco meteor's animation in a mainline game?
Yeah, no, you're right. Actually, that brings up, do we have a Draco meteor user? Like, does anyone have the move Draco meteor in game? Because I know all Pokemon, like, their Unite moves are uniquely named for Unite, but all of their other moves are, of course, in-game moves. I don't think we have a single Draco meteor user, do we?
Not as a normal Unite move.
Yeah. But you're saying that the Hyper Super Duper Meteor Omega Beam or whatever it is. It's got a great name, too. I'm not doing it service, but yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, and then the last one, which I am genuinely ecstatic for, is Cerulege, or Cerulege. I honestly don't know which way to pronounce it. I think it's Cerulege. That Pokemon is stunning. I love it in every way. I'm a huge, like, Mega Man fan as well, growing up, so, like, they made Mega Man Pokemon, and I'm pumped about that. And it's Ghost-type. It's so sick. I was looking at the stats that were leaked, by the way. It has zero Lifesteal, which, for all-rounder, it's a little strange, but it makes sense, because it'll probably have, like, Lifesteal moves, seeing as like it's iconic move in the video game is Bitter Blade. Iconic, yeah. A signature move is Bitter Blade, which is like a fire type attack that restores your HP when you use it. So I think that will be in place of it. So either way, very, very, very excited for that Pokemon. We don't have any like leaked footage or video of or anything like that yet. I think we maybe have this move set, but I am very, very stoked for that Pokemon. It's a long way off. The only downside of it, of course, is that it is not a split Evo like Urshifu or Scyther. Charcadet does not split evolve into either Armourish or Cerulege. However, this does open up the possibility now that we would get Armourish as a later release, similar to like the Eeveelutions, if you will. Obviously not having as many. But yeah.
There's nothing I like more for diversity in the cast of characters in this game than setting us up for having to release more different versions of a Pokemon I already don't care about. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts to hear you say it like that, but I guess maybe that's true. How about regional variants? Like, the only regional variants I believe we have in the game is Alolan Ninetales, right? Mm-hmm. Would you be upset or excited for a Kanto Ninetales release, Dubsnax?
What's the point? Like, what are we doing? Okay. You know what I mean? There's such a deep cast of characters. What are we doing here? But there's like tons of like random fire types that would be pretty dope. That would make random corners of the fandom happy. Like, the people that like Ninetales like Alolan Ninetales and got pulled in by that.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that would go nuts for Ninetales, I think. I think it'd be pretty strong. Bridget, how about you? Are you with me or are you with Deuce next? Or should we have Kanto Ninetales in game or get it out of here?
I struggle to see what would be super different.
Oh
about...
my gosh.
Bridget, you're amazing and I love you. Thank you so much.
Any Kanto Mon is going to make people happy. Yeah. Almost any. But. Ugh. Yeah. I'm not against regional variants, but I want them to be, like, different enough.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of cool that we have attacker Mewtwo and all-rounder Mewtwo, but I don't know how you do that with, like, Kanto Ninetales.
But, like, why, like, if we're going, like, I'm fine with variants, but why would we just keep choosing the same Pokemon is my point.
That's fair.
Because they sell.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Like,
it's like,
like
that's what I'm saying. Like, instead of going base Ninetales, can't we do like Alolan Geodude line or something? You
that
know,
would be
and
fun.
Just you know what I mean? Like, I don't care that we're doing variants. It's just don't do Alolan Ninetales and then regular Ninetales.
Okay, fine. I guess
like Meowth and then Alolan Meowth.
That's true. Yeah. Please don't do Meowth at all, honestly. I'll say
yeah,
it.
No Meowth.
I'll say
I'm
it.
Good. Maybe Berserker.
Yeah. Galarian Weezing would be sick.
Yeah.
True.
Like Galarian Koffing, Galarian Weezing, sick combo. I'm for that.
We need to do a like which variant would we want kind of list at some point. Like, okay, Weezing, Galarian or normal? Which one would we want in game?
Alolan Persian looks like you told a 5-year-old to draw a regular Persian.
Dude, it's so
that is
funny.
What it looks like.
I love it. It's Nurmal. It's Nurmal from Garfield in Pokemon form. It's so good. I think it's hilarious. Anyone talk about Hisui Pokemon in this game? I've talked a lot about Kleavor potentially being added to the game, but I don't know if that'll ever be existing. If they were going to add Hisui, okay. But see, if we follow your line of thinking, Doomsdex, I don't get Hisui and Zoroark. And that feels, I mean, like a personal slight to me. And that's upsetting. But
well, isn't Hisui and Zoroark like the spray version of Zoroark or something? Like, I thought I saw a tweet about that today.
The spray?
The shiny version? Is that what you're talking about?
I know it's not the shiny version of Zoroark, but I could have sworn in a tweet from El Chico today, they literally mentioned Hisuian Zoroark.
Oh, not Hisuian, but, or maybe the color scheme is similar to that. I actually don't know what Zoroark shiny is.
It does not look so. It's like teal. The red turns teal.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Normal. Yeah.
Huh. Weird. Okay. Cute. Well, let's talk about the next big one because
yeah, there's new effects for Zoroark Ghost Style.
Oh,
so I think it's a battle pass.
Yeah,
is
that's
it like a battle pass. Okay. I just assumed Zoroark Ghost, and I thought Ghost type Hisuian Zoroark. That's where I got that. Okay.
Yeah, it's like my bad. One that already has the kimono on with like the hairpiece on. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good one. I have a tough time deciding which Zoroark Hollow to use when I never play that Pokemon because I'm so scared I'm going to do bad. but okay, let's move on from the new Pokemon releases. Obviously, I think we have a pretty decent spectrum of excitement on this show. I'm pretty pumped about all three, and we have a definitive hater. In Deucex, and Bridget kind of likes Phalanx, so that's good. Phalanx.
Gun to my head, of the three, Phalanx is the best by miles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
It's the support players. Of course we're pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bigger topic for sure. That's a bigger topic for sure. The lack of support release is alarming. I have went on this podcast before and said, I honestly think we're fine with the slow trickle of defenders. The last defender, was Umbreon, right? Like, I really think we are okay with the roster of defenders. There's enough variants. There's like enough different styles represented. Supports definitely need some attention though. That like desperately. But anyway,
yeah, we're going on a year, and the last one we got was Comfy,
yeah,
bro.
That's true.
Please,
that is true.
Kill me.
Okay. All right. I am. Let's move on. Let's go off of the Pokemon release talk because it's. Well, it's exciting, or not. But let's move on to the next one, which I would say is definitively not exciting, which is going to sound strange when I start the sentence, is that shiny Pokemon are allegedly coming to Pokemon Unite. However, it is locked behind a paywall, which, okay, let's start there. Not a bad thing. Like, I mean, this game has paid cosmetics. Shinies could be considered a cosmetic. Yes, in most other games, it is not a paid option to get a shiny Pokemon. It's from something else. We're not other games. It's fine. Like, this is a live service game. I understand. They got to make money. Cosmetics, that would make a ton of sense. But the other factor is, for some reason, the item in-game that allows you to get a shiny Pokemon, they call it Shining, now is a Shining Spray, also comes with some, albeit very, very small, but stat boosts. 150 HP, or I think it's actually just 50 HP,
it's just 50.
6 attack, and like 8 special attack, or something like that. For some reason, an aesthetic paid item gives a bonus to stats. I don't know where to start. Bridget, do you wanna kick off on this discussion?
I'm hoping it's so minute it just doesn't matter in terms of the stat boosts. It's still just like lame, but what can you do? I don't know. I'm kind of like, whatever, man. Okay. I'm not like having a bunch of maybe isn't the best take, but
sure. We've been hurt before. It's okay. We understand around this. Fair enough. Deucenex, how about you? How are you feeling about this addition to the game?
Yeah, I mean, adding shiny is genius. I've been saying it for a long time. And Bridget, I don't know if you had something else to say. You just kind of cut out there for a second. Okay, I'm gonna press on. Bridget, you're mad choppy.
No.
It's all right, we'll get you sorted. All right, Deucenex. Yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so adding shiny is great. I've been advocating for that forever. I think it's like an easy slam dunk. Doesn't surprise or pain me that it's behind some sort of paid metric. Whatever, who cares? Doesn't matter to me. It's very bizarre that it applies. It applies to a Holoware?
Yeah.
Is that right?
No.
So
yes, your spray applies to one Holoware, yes.
So, like, for me, you know, just using a hypothetical example here. So, like, my purple Holoware on Sableye, the Jester, I use my shiny spray on that one. Like, having the gold Sableye is sick in that costume. Like that is conceptually cool. I don't know why stats are tethered to it. It doesn't sound just kind of like in my mind that the stats really make that big of a difference. And of course the buff isn't there for tournament play, if I understand correctly as well.
Also
so
correct, yeah.
It just seems like a goofy decision for not a lot of value. I don't know. I don't particularly care.
Yeah. I think it sucks. If it is how it reads on paper now from the data mines that we have seen, it is atrocious. Like, this is such a bummer. If it's not, and we're missing some kind of context, or there's some other way that these apply, or you can earn them via events or something, maybe I don't hate it as much. The stat joining it, though, is just bizarre. Like, it makes
no sense. That's the biggest part.
Honestly, what it reads to me is, well, I wonder who's making this decision. Because it reads to me as them deciding that shiny wasn't enough to make you click the buy button. Which I don't think is even remotely close to true. Like, I know Pokemon fans very well. I am one. I know the world. Like, I think if you had the chance to grab your Lucario and make them shiny for a week, like, you're gonna click the button. I don't know. It just seems so wild to me that, like, people wouldn't... They think
it's not permanent?
No, I think it lasts for 7 days.
Oh, that's awful. I didn't know that.
It's so bad in every way. Yeah, it's not like you could just buy, like, you know, ring up the credit card 20 times and apply them to all of your Pokemon so you have the boost on everything. It's not even that either. I don't know. Honestly, I think that it is too soon to call. Like, I think we are lacking information, but I would be lying if the information that I do have to work with isn't so unbelievably dumb. Like, I am so mad if this is the way it releases. Like, it's just, like, throw my hands up, I don't understand kind of value. And that's really frustrating as a consumer of this game for quite some time. But I do not like that. But also, Bridget update, everybody. We'll have her back momentarily. We should be good to go. Bridget, you here?
So real quick, Bridge.
Hello.
London yes! Bridge.
She made it. Let's go.
All right, my PC is just like dying in real time.
It's so. Okay. I'm so happy we found a way to get you on. That's hype.
I did some troubleshooting.
You're in. Dude's next, though. We cut you off. What were you saying?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is how I understood it, and clearly I read it once and then just formulated a thought and moved on. It was shiny spray. You buy the shiny spray. You apply it to one holoware that you like. And then for that character, that's the version, like, that's the shiny one you get. So, like, if you put the shiny spray on the McDonald's visor for your Clefable, that's the shiny Clefable you're going to get is whenever you put on that McDonald's visor. I didn't know it was limited. Yeah, this is weird. I like it far less now. I thought it was just like a one-time purchase and you just kind of move on.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's not that, which is miserable.
Yeah. Yucky. Yucky, yucky.
Yucky indeed.
Okay. Yeah, Bridget, you were saying it just kind of, you're sort of whatever about the whole scenario. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it is truly, I really can't think of what they could have done worse, you know? Like, how could this be worse?
It could be relevant like stats, I guess. Like
landed. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I don't understand. I guess it's free money hack for Timmy because, yeah, I'm looking at what El Chico said, and it said holoware effect sprays can add an effect to holoware for X days. So I'm not sure, but yeah, it seems like it's capped.
Yeah, maybe it's only during the event, like the celebration when Pokemon Day happens, because we should talk about, I don't know, it's not a huge talking point, but shiny Rayquaza will apparently be being added to the map, which is, It makes a lot of sense. This is going to be a big Rayquaza year. Like last year, Mewtwo was everywhere, across every Pokemon title. This year, it's going to be Rayquaza. The newest Pokemon anime that's releasing in Japan is a lot of shiny Rayquaza. So that's like a big deal. Pogo is probably going to have shiny Rayquaza raids, like that kind of stuff. So we're getting that treatment as well. Shiny Rayquaza will be the main objective. It was shown with a concerning screenshot from El Chico Eevee with a Charizard with Ray Shield who was for some reason stealthed while goal scoring. I really, really hope that isn't something that we have to look forward to, but we really don't have any information on that. So I feel like it's a little too early to speculate in regards to that. So we probably should just move on past that one. But yeah, shiny Rayquaza is coming to the game. That's pretty cool. I'm fine with just map reskins, honestly. I like Theo. I think just some new looks is kind of fun. And shiny Mega Rays or shiny Rayquaza would be cool. If it was Mega, that'd be sick. Probably not going to get that one. But yeah, maybe the shiny like effect like lasts for X days is like however long this like Year of the Dragon event lasts, that kind of thing. Other than that, I don't know if we have. Is there any other like part of the leaks that you all wanted to talk about? There's like some new game mode stuff, new battle pass stuff, but I don't know. We can get to that when it releases, unless any of you want to talk about that, or should we transition to what that guy in chat wants of UCS?
Missed it in my audio, but Reggie Drago is finally being reunited with his brethren in the game.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Reggie Drago will be in the game, not in the normal map, only in the Dragon Earth mode or the Full Fury Dragon mode. Sweet.
Reggie, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah, maybe it's just a test though. Maybe they're testing it out. See if people like it, and then they'll add it to the game. Who knows? But maybe it'd be fun if there were four different Reggies you could get. What would Reggie Drago even give you a stat boost to?
That's what I was kind of wondering.
HP, if it was move speed, I would go nuts. I don't know why. Cool. You could do like a 3%, 5% crit chance increase. That's probably too much. That's probably bad. That's probably great. Don't do that.
What if you did like a Fisher Price boost of like all the stats, right? So instead of like, you know, a Regirock level of stat, you do like
all of them.
25% of that, but all of the Regis.
Okay. Yeah, it would be. The only reason I think they wouldn't do that is just because it's like, I feel like if they added Regigigas to that bottom side,
yeah, that
then
makes
maybe,
more sense.
You know, like if they added Drago and like there's a really low chance that it rolls Gigas, it'd be like, ooh.
Okay. Ooh.
But that'd be cool. Oh, that's interesting. Man, I just want more Regigigas in the game. I really liked him in the boss battle thing. I thought it'd be fun if we had more, but yeah, you could randomize between Drago and Aleki in the top path too. That is true. They could do slightly. They could do like they have the same effect, but do slightly different things. Or they're pretty all in on like the electric types making the Ghoul Zones defenseless. All right, whatever. We're talking too much about Regidrago for a podcast. This has already gone on too long. So let's switch over to the Unite Championship Series because literally this Saturday, the season starts, which is unreal. I feel like time has been flying past in front of me. The Championship Series is going to start for every TPC I run region. So that is going to include Oceania, Europe, North America, LATAM North, South, and Brazil will be every single region represented. Signups are open. So if you're listening to this podcast and you have not signed your team up, please go do so now. They're not filling up or anything, but just get in there. You don't want to forget. So go sign up for a tournament. It'll be really awesome. And then just like how in the past they have run the top eight out of these qualifiers, the open qualifiers, will be playing the following weekend in the top eight playoff bracket, which will be for a lot more championship points and, of course, prize money now, which we talked about a lot last episode. So yes, UCS is finally starting. Deuce-X, how does that make you feel?
I'm so excited. The meta feels great right now, I think. I think it's in a great spot. February matters a ton. Money they add up, but what it means for the AOS Cup. So I'm all in. I cannot be more excited.
Okay, sick. How about you, Bridget?
I'm super excited. Very, very, very hyped. I can't believe it's here. I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, literally this weekend. Yeah. Unreal stuff. I am very, very excited, of course, as well as all of you, which I think I've stated a bajillion times, but it's going to be awesome. We wanted to talk a little bit, though, about the top teams that we think are going to be headed into the North America UCS competition, because, I don't know, I feel like the variance is there for North America. There's a lot of really good teams that could end up in kind of very different spots from where we might expect. And then we would talk about EU a little bit too. So let's start with Europe, I think. Let's start with Europe. I'm going to have to go back to that. Yeah, there we go. Okay. We'll discuss Europe. So Dubesnacks and Bridget, obviously we think that Nouns Esports is kind of top dog in Europe right now. I think they have shown that tournament after tournament, most recently the last weekend in our Unite Mics tournament. They look incredible. Are there any other teams from EU that the two of you have your eyes on?
Yeah, it's hard to ignore Baltoys Unite, of course. That can't go understated. I want to pull up because I know there's another team that stood out to me, but Baltoys United, of course, is Gatlu's team, yep. Right? Zervis is on there as well.
Yeah.
That's probably like the easiest one to jump back down to. Mm-hmm. Is this who signed up so far?
Yes.
Oh, sick. So Plush Keepers shouldn't be a surprise there. Yeah. We've seen them a little bit, which is kind of Pump's French team, if I'm not mistaken.
They are working with Plush Keepers. I don't think they're... I don't know. Maybe... I thought I saw something about that. But I think they are still with them. But yeah, there we go. Plush Keepers. Yeah, they're not officially on the roster. That's the only thing. But...
Right. They're like affiliated with and help get it all together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks like Giga Chat is back.
Yeah.
Click on Giga Chat real quick. Urzeron.
Yeah, Urzeron, Laura, Toby, Indigo. Like, this is like a solid team. It's basically like the Germans run it back, you know? I love
games. Young Leon isn't on there, though. Just gives me a little pause.
He is elsewhere.
He is elsewhere.
I think he's playing with Not Dodo again somewhere.
Oh, yes, because he ended up going over there. That's right.
Yeah. Is this him? Yeah, this is Young Leon. There we go. Yeah, so this is the copy Babas. Fabao.
I've seen them in Battle Hub. They've done well.
Okay, sick. Yeah, this is definitely a team to keep your eye. I mean, any team with Not Dodo and Young Leon gets me quite excited. Niels as well, who told me how to pronounce their name correctly last year's EUIC. That, if any of you were wondering what the EUIC experience is, for Zoinks, it's just walking into the event and having a line of 20 European players come tell you how to properly pronounce their name. that has been my experience of the past years. That is definitely one that I need to improve on. So this is good. Squishy Squad is running it back. Deucex on my stream, we were talking about this team. If for audio listeners, I'm so sorry, you're gonna be missing out on this. But XD underscore super underscore clown underscore poppy has the best logo I think I have ever seen in a Pokemon.
It's pretty excellent.
It's Ash Ketchum, like, with face painting and the red nose of a clown with, like, Pikachu on his shoulder. It's so good. This makes me so happy to see that this team is entered to compete. So, another team I absolutely have on my mind. I think there's a plushie.
Illusion.
Yeah, Illusion. This is, I would say, a pretty clear number three, in my opinion, outside of Baltoy Unite. Like Dalton maybe up there as well, but yeah, Illusion, an incredible team. I think they went out like, what would that be, 7th, 8th in our tournament in Unite Mics. Sazuro, Lunderu, Klaus, Rasmog, and Kree, so just a really, really good team. I'm excited to see them play. Obviously, good to see Klaus on a brand new team since they were playing on Talibobo last year. Team Uwu, this is going to be Doomsnack's favorite team, mostly because they're running Hirai on this squad. We are going to see some Sableye shenanigans from this team, I guarantee it. And Gallen Gunner, Inyat, Snow, and Sox all on this team. A really cool team to watch as well. So I guess by just what I'm trying to state by going through all these EU teams that we're showcasing is that there is a lot of really good, talented teams in EU. It's just tough to talk about them when Nouns is so unbelievably good. Like, it is... I don't know. It's going to take a lot for some of these teams to really challenge, but got another team up here on the screen as well. The Le Dalton, very, very good team. This is basically Zephyr running it back with Oni instead of Hirai, but yeah.
I mean, I'm taking a look at this, and you're right. Like, Nouns does truly feel head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
Mm-hmm.
However, EU is still getting three slots, right? So... you know, there's a lot of work to be done by a lot. And there's a lot of teams that I think if you ask them last EOS Cup when that was over, how they felt about their year, they would say, you know, we missed some opportunities. We didn't take this necessarily as seriously as we thought, right? Mm-hmm. Now that there's money on the line each month, I think we're going to see some reinvigorated commitment. We're going to see longer commitments as well. And hopefully what this propagates is these teams staying together longer, which is really what I'm looking forward to in EU, like less roster shuffling. Theoretically, that would happen with the way it's set up now. So, you know, I would love an upstart team that maybe we are talking about right now that we get to learn about.
Yeah, especially with roster sticking together, with the fact that whatever team, if you were to qualify for the EOS Cup in London, in the UIC, whatever squad you qualify with in this tournament, you have to play with in London.
Right.
You are locking in because this tournament is considered the qualifier for that event. It works similarly to how if you play with one squad in the qualifiers that weekend, you are locked into playing with that team for the top eight event. You can change rosters in between events, but of course, a little bit different in this case. So yeah, that will be interesting. But yeah, Bridget, how about you? Any EU squads that you really had your eye on out of the ones that we went through or even a different one?
Two different from what you guys have already kind of touched on. I am excited to see how Nouns does with their Talibobo Nouns super team. Like, I feel like they're kind of going to be one everyone's gunning for. So
that's true.
They have a lot of pressure and I'm excited to see. Yeah, if there are any kind of like these more underrated teams or even like in the number two, what we're ranking as like number two, number three, like just out the gate, how everyone does. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be really sick. I can't wait to see these teams actually play. It's going to be so
for
fun.
For sure.
Oh, it's fun to theory craft, but literally all we have to do is wait until Saturday, which is going to be so sweet.
Yeah.
One thing actually that we have not mentioned yet, we got messaged by a member of TPCI who was listening to our episode. So keep that in mind, folks. We have TPCI folks listen to the show sometimes, but they wanted to give us one rule corrections from what we talked about in for EUIC and the open bracket for qualifying for it, and of course the final stretch as well. Those tournament, the open bracket tournament specifically, are open to a team from any world championship qualifying region, not just TPCI ones. So a team from Japan or Korea or APAC or India is allowed to compete in those events. You won't earn championship points. That team will not earn championship points. But if they win, I believe they still would earn themselves a world spot. I don't see why that would change. Yeah. And of course, the cash prize as well for EUIC specifically. The final stretch in North America doesn't have a cash prize. But so, yeah, that is like kind of crazy to see, like, especially because in terms of esports orgs, APAC is actually one of the more popular locations in the world that actually has some kind of investment from like kind of endemic esports orgs like Talon, for example, who just had an extremely good run in their ACL qualification. So that would be pretty crazy to see Talon show up at one of these events. That'd be fun. Deuce next, as long as Bridget and Spraggle's final stretch team. I mean, I'm down. Let's run it. That'd be fun.
You guys just don't cast.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll, yeah, we're just game.
We'll land. Yeah, we're just game.
That'd be fun. That'd be so fun. That'd be a blast. I would be I think Deuce next and I would both be menaces in a land environment. Just because of our energy sometimes. However, I grew up in old school, like, console esports was kind of my first introduction to esports, and y'all, those LAN environments I would not call, like, tame. You are standing up there screaming across to their opponents. Now, obviously, that's not allowed or encouraged in any way, but I'm not gonna lie, the temptation would be there for Zoinks to be screeching across the table. I will say.
Do you think I'd get kicked out of NAIC if I got banned off the LAN event?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, noted.
Is the Eeveelutions logo a Wigglytuff?
Yes. Yes. Well, okay, and you also have to remember, it's like, they're not spelling it Eevee, like, it's EV as in, like, Pokemon EVs, like, effort values or whatever, I think, technically, and then they keep the two E's after. It's a play on words on a play on words, I believe.
Beautiful, I love that.
Yeah, because their, like, tag sign is the EVE power, which is, like, the hidden stat in Pokemon or whatever. Yeah, it should be an Inteleon logo. Honorary evolution. Okay. But yeah, I think that's about as deep as we wanted to go on EU. Any shouts towards the European region before we switch to NA?
Where is NA? Good luck playing nouns, everyone.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Good luck in your nouns matches. I hope you don't get seated eighth or whatever in that event. So that would be pretty rough.
Is it random seeding for the first one?
I believe so.
That's brutal. That could be that could be a random buzzsaw too.
I remember, I'm pretty sure it is, because I remember it being really tough for a few teams in NA last year. I remember it being quite difficult. I think GT was one of those actually, but okay. Let's look at North America. Oh, also, if anyone wonders, the StarGG page for the Pokemon Unite Championship Series, the league page, is awesome. It has, like, links to every single tournament throughout the year that Unite Championship Series is doing that you can sign up for, and you can click on them at any time. Also, shout out to North America for having 22 teams fully signed up and 83 teams partially signed up. I think that's hilarious. Yeah, this team.
We'll take it.
This team
close
is
enough.
Yeah, it's grief, but it's great. I'm a fan. Okay, there's a lot of good teams in North America, and we did talk a little bit about power rankings. I want to talk about a few of them, but Bridget, you sent me maybe the greatest meme I think I've ever seen in regards to this. So let's pull it up. Let's get Bridget's power rankings on screen. Yes, this is a Dance Moms reference, and Bridget, please explain yourself.
Been, you know, I'm tired of the tier list. It's okay. A tired format. We've all seen it before. Mm-hmm. Sure, everyone understands it and it's easy to process and probably more suitable for this kind of thing. But why not do a niche reference that probably no one here appreciates or understands, you know?
Okay.
Why not take the opportunity? So there's a show called Dance Moms. You guys might have been familiar when it was, like, more in the zeitgeist. It's kind of, like, an older show now, but very iconic. Basically just, like, a crazy dance teacher and all these, like, kids who are, like, amazing at dance. And every week she would... start by ranking the children in the form of a pyramid and start at the bottom and just like tell everyone who did bad at competition that week, and then whoever did good was like at the top. I mean, so pretty much exactly what we're doing.
Okay,
so,
perfect. Yes.
I made my own pyramid.
Okay, sick. So on the bottom end of your pyramid, because this is an audio medium in some way, we have a pyramid of teams created by Bridget. On the bottom is Team YouTube, GT, and God Squad. And then in the second tier, but not a tier, if you will, is Alter Ego, TTV, and Nemesis. And then right above them, above all else, some would say, is Luminosity Gaming. So do you kind of approach this with that in mind, Bridget? Like, do you approach it as like this kind of a tier break between Alter Ego, Nemesis, and TTV and the rest of the teams?
Yeah, and I even kind of thought about putting TTV in like its own middle tier, like below Nemesis and Alter Ego, but
interesting.
I feel like
another break.
For the most part, mostly just because, I mean, Hitman is amazing and I haven't seen them play a ton with him, but I know they did really good with him in, I guess it was the run-up, and then they played with Vin in the LG one, but
right.
I just know since it's like a newer dynamic, I wasn't sure, and I feel like Alter Ego and Nemesis have really like proved themselves over the past month that they can kind of be consistent with results with their rosters. So that was my only thought, but...
Okay. I like this. I like this.
Yeah.
Dupes next. Yeah. Any critiques of Bridget's list? Any team that you would move up, move down? How do you feel about those tier breaks in particular?
Yeah. I don't think that's too far off.
Yeah.
I think me moving stuff around would be nitpicking just to say I came up with something different. I do think this is a pretty representative of North America. However, I do want to say this. The gaps. So like it's easy to put LG at the top, but it's still a new team, right? So we're going off a lot of past results and proclivities here. And of course, that's where I would put them too. And I think that's a very easy decision.
Yeah.
I think the gap between them and the next three makes sense. There's a small gap between those three and the next three makes sense. However, I will say this, the gap between these three teams and one's not shown, I don't think is huge.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like the 9, 10, 11, 12 placements.
Right.
Also extremely close.
It doesn't take much to flip this thing completely upside down. I think we can all easily agree with that.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's what's super exciting about NA, and it's what's been exciting about NA for the last 2 years, and it looks like it's going to be the same thing here for year three, is there is so much volatility between these teams that they are going to absolutely slap the shit out of each other for six straight months. And as a viewer, as a caster, as a whatever you are that might not be on one of these teams, however you ingest this competitive content, this is going to be freaking awesome. Like, I can't wait. They are going, like, the fact that, like, YouTube won in May, right, is, like, absolutely banana lands. Yeah, Viridian's a good shout, too. Viridian's a
Definitely.
Really good shout.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, let's transition to my list, because I like Bridget's quite a bit. Mine is quite similar. Again, for audio listeners, I'll read this off to you. This is something that we created on my stream the other day, when one of my chatters just asked me one time what I thought of NA teams, and then my brain went on a complete rabbit trail to the point where I needed to rank the top 10. But this is what I have. Also, please, if you're watching this on YouTube, ignore the spelling. It is atrocious.
Yeah. There's like three spelling
errors. Nemesis, like, baby.
Nemesis is great. Romance is maybe my greatest work. I'm like low-key proud of it, but whatever. Okay, so this is my top 10 in NA. I didn't even put 10. God, I'm so bad at this. All right. For audio listeners, this is what it is. Number one, LG. Number two, Nemesis. Number three, TTV. Number four, Alter Ego. So our top fours are, I think, are very consistent across the board. I don't think anybody's really arguing our top four. Five, I have GT. They're ranked quite a bit higher for me, I think, than most people. However, I have been impressed by what they've done. They've been very quiet in tournaments in January. However, I've heard good things from them from scrims. So that's somewhat what I'm based on.
Scrim stocks,
also,
baby.
Scrim, the stonks are through the roof. Scrims, the Scrimbuck Stock Exchange is my favorite place to be. Also, I think that this meta is really good for GT because I think EVs are godlike, and I think that some of Black's junglers are best when he's playing Eevee, and I think that OG is one of the best Leafeons in North America. So I think that GT is primed quite well for this tournament, meta-wise. So that's my shout for that. Viridian, I have at 6. They're a quieter team. Some people might not be familiar with them. They are, this list would make more sense in pyramid form. You're right, I need to change it. Okay, Viridian, I have ranked 6. This is Barnwell's team. That is Barnwell, Breezy, Beast. So just really, really good players. They've been doing some amazing tournament runs. I think with players that just haven't really had many great results, but Battle Hubs, they have been killing it. Underdunks, they have been killing it. And those are events where they've been able to play with their full roster, which is sick. So they're at 6. 7th, I have Team YouTube, which I admit is quite low. I think I could move them around with Viridian or even GT, really. But I've heard bad things from Scrims, from YT. So... Personally, I am a little worried about YouTube going into the qualifiers. I'm just a little concerned about that. 8th, I have God Squad. 9th, I have Ignorance. 10th, I have Exile. I did all the way to 10 just because that was on stream, so I may as well talk about it. But 10th, I have Exile. So that's my list. Dupes Next, any hardcore problems with this list?
No.
Okay.
I think Viridian is a good shout. I think they've definitely earned themselves to be in the mix. You know, just looking at this, like, any one of these teams could easily be in the top 8, right? We could see them in the top 8 of the February finals without a doubt. You know, my biggest concerns, you know, just some points of order to kind of agree with you. You know, GT is one of the teams that has been playing the most together for the longest with their kind of like core subset of people, where a lot of these other teams, even LG, has gone through more changes than GT has. I think the only exception on this list is Ignorance. What'd you say, Zwings?
Well, aren't LG and GT at the same amount of changes going into this season? Like, we have one new player on LG and one new player on GT, from what I'm remembering.
Right, but like GT, you have two role swaps.
Sure.
And then a brand new player, whereas GT, I just think it's been less overall, but their core group has been together, like, since LG, like, after Worlds. They've been playing longer as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
With the exception of, on this list, Ignorance, because those same five have been just gaming together, which is important for February, and I don't want it to be understated. Mm-hmm. But to your point, YYT would probably drop down my list. Is they did add Muck, who's a phenomenal player. Communication on that team, as much as we like to joke about it, is difficult. Like, it's just naturally difficult. They're clearly having issues with that. You can hear it in their scrims because they broadcast everything.
Yeah.
And you know, that is a source of their power, but also a source of their detriment. So how is that going to coalesce in February? That's a great question. I think they're one of the, for the game in North America, one of the best teams we could have on a stage anywhere. Like, so I want them to succeed selfishly. Okay. That is a hurdle that they're going to have to overcome.
Okay. Cool. Bridget, how do you feel about my list? Anything crazy here? Thoughts on YouTube at 7th?
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about it. I definitely agree with Dube Snacks, but I do feel like, I mean, they didn't do bad in the LG tourney, but maybe not as good as expected. But then I feel like they did kind of show up a lot more for the Unite Mics tourney this past weekend. So
they
That kind of gave me... a little more YouTube on top fire. So
okay.
It'll be interesting to see when, I just feel like they're kind of one of those teams, like when, like many teams, when they're hot, and when they're not, it's like really not. But I would like Doomsacks also, I would really like to see them do well again. It was fun to watch their run last year, and I'm also a Muck fan, so I'm always rooting for him too.
We're all Muck fans here, for sure.
Who isn't?
It's hard not to be. The guy's goated. He literally carried me so hard in a ranked game the other day. We queued up for one, and he got like 19 kills on Inteleon. It was insane. I was like, okay, this is fine. I love this. So big Muck stand for sure. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get higher on the list if you give Zwings a carry in ranked.
That's true. Doofsnacks, any list from you, or do you just like relatively agree with the two of ours?
Yeah, when I saw your list go out with the spelling errors, and I saw people kind of griefing you on that. But I took a look at that, and then Bridget sent hers over. And like I said, coming up with something different would have been nitpicking for the sake of argument. So I just figured I'd ride off both of yours and just pepper in some commentary where necessary.
Fair enough. I like it. Hold on, I realize I'm... There we go. Okay, cool. So, the last thing, I know this episode's going long, but bear with us because I think we have to do this. Teams outside of our top 8 or 10 that we think we should be shouting out. There's quite a few in North America. Like, there are so many. So, maybe we kind of each just think of one that you can think of. I can scroll through some. Bridget, do you have one in mind? That is
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple, but...
Okay, yeah, there's so many, seriously.
Yeah, the one I do want to shout out is Dark Aura, okay. Except Yoshi, but everyone else I
except
love very much.
Yoshi! No way! Okay.
He's fine. But I met them at NAIC last year. They've also been playing together for a really long time.
Yeah.
Honestly, like a pretty consistent like top 16 team in NA, so at least last year, so I'm excited to see how it's been going for them and how they do in this one. So, love DA.
Sweet. Yeah, all these teams that I think we're going to be mentioning here shortly are teams that we're not going to predict them to win the tournament, but they are teams that could make it into top 8 and make it to the finals next week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for sure. I think that is absolutely fair to say. Doofsnacks, do you have one that comes to mind, or you want me to scroll through some pages?
So Flamin' Hot Dodrios.
Yeah.
I know you just put it on your page there. And then, I have to give a shout to, absolutely ardent Unite Mike supporter and Sableye player, eKittens, DM me please with, D-Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two that I'll pitch to the front there.
That is a really sick shout. Now
the fact that you could literally pick like half these teams is kind of sick too.
It's so
like,
good.
The NA scene is so dope. It's so good. Yeah.
There's some incredible teams. Like Umbra, Vulpium has had amazing Battle Hub games. Same with Anomaly.
Yeah, Egoist.
Egoist is on that team. I'm trying to remember the rest of the team. Yeah, Okiro plays on that one as well. I've seen a lot of good stuff from Riker. This is the eKittens DMV please roster. So Big Mac, Chad, Ryan, Sableye like God, Banzo Kajui, still one of my
which
favorite
is so good. It's so good.
It's like it's just a bit I would make, so that's funny. And then All Days is also on that team. They're very good. A team that I'm super excited about is Anbu. This is Twisted, Uzi, Tamatama, Lunair.
Oh yeah, that seems sick. Bro.
This team is sick. I texted Uzi about it the other day. I was like, yo, your team looks great. He's like, thanks. We came up with it this week. So, okay. That put a little of the wind out of my sails on this squad, but I still am very, very excited for this team. I easily could see Anbu making it to top 8. No doubt in my mind. They could gut
some teams for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's a fun. What team is the Lane Greninja team that takes out LG? You know, there's always got to be one. Of course, Femme Fatale's got a great squad. This is the Viridian roster, again, that we were talking so highly about, or at least I had ranked very, very high. Beast, Brave Pie, Savior, Breezy, Barnwell, just a very, very good crew. Excited for that team. What was the team that I was thinking of? Who's Real Player One playing for right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know.
God Squad.
God Squad. That's right. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's right. Also, we have some great Slick Spooners. Very funny name. New World Order. Good team. We got some, yeah, we got some good teams. Phantom Forces is a really good team that's been doing a lot of Battle Hub stuff too. I'm not super familiar with their players, but I know they grind tournaments, which I'm always a big fan of. So,
yep.
Yeah, a lot of very good teams. If anybody wants to go and take a look, oh, Mufa got a good team too. Solo, Frog Party, Void King. Like, it's going to be awesome. This is going to be an awesome tournament. I absolutely can't wait. Also, Ripto was in our chat earlier talking about how pumped they are for Phalanx. I don't know if they... This team was made before the release or the data mines came out today. So, big shout out to Ripto and getting ahead of it.
Yeah, they're getting a power up.
Yeah,
they're
there we go.
They're getting an in-game power up, bro.
You got to stick together till April. That's the game plan. But yeah, remember everybody, if you go to StarGG's league page for the Pokemon Unite Championship Series, you just go to start.gg and you just search it. You'll be able to find it no problem. So yeah, go check it out. But I think that brings us to the end of this episode. We talked about UCS, we talked about leaks, we talked about the Unite Mics tournament. I feel like we kind of hit everything we came here to talk about. So yeah, anything else that we should mention before we close up shop?
I'm hyped, dude. It's going to be so good.
Sick.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I am ecstatic. It is going to be awesome. Bridget, anything that you want to plug before we head out of here?
I do want to put out a bat signal for anyone who has experience or is interested in spectating and is able to stream that on YouTube. I am helping resident Mr. Sneaky Seal with some Sick. UCS streaming like he does every year. So
very cool.
Let me know.
Cool. Yeah. Good friend of the show, Sneaky Seal, running his classic red zone style of coverage. It's my favorite. Very, very cool. Deuce Next, how about you? Any sellouts, shout outs, things like that?
Yeah, real quick, shout out to everybody that got a shirt and made that a successful endeavor and made sure that Zoinks and I didn't lose a bazillion dollars to create a t-shirt, which is cool. It's a very cool thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit more, Zoinks, but Zoinks and I will be casting some of the UCS qualifier stuff this Saturday with good old content cowboy Spraggles, so yeah. Be on the lookout for that. I don't really know what channel we're going to be on. Maybe Zoinks has those details, but I'll be there for the first part of the day, and then Zoinks will be stepping in for the back half of the day. So to bring you EU and NA. So we're starting early to bring you that action.
We are starting atrociously early, yes, to give us to get EU.
5:15 a.m. for Spraggles, which Zoinks for you is what, 7, and for me is 8. So
yeah, it's brutal. But it'll be fine. Yes, so we're gonna be on Spraggles stream doing that content. He was already doing it. You and I just kinda hopped on. But we'll be doing a very similar thing to Sneaky Seal. So if you want to check out some casting over there as well, maybe Bridget and I will DM back and forth to try to cover different teams. Well, at least when it comes to NA. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not doing it this weekend. We're doing next weekend.
Oh, so I figured you guys were sick. Oh, okay. Yeah. Very, very cool. So, all right. That's good to know. That's good detail. So Sneaky Seal is going to be doing the monthly finals, especially for North America. I assume he'll do something with the EU. Maybe he'll do something with the EU. But basically, in the past, broadcast has only covered the top 4 of both regions. I know Sneaky likes to try to get as much as they can of the top 8 matches. So that's sweet. But yeah, other than that, I was mentioning the Spraggles thing. Go check that out. But yeah, I think that's where we will end the episode tonight. If you're watching on YouTube, please let us know a team that you are pumped to see compete in the UCS season that's starting this weekend. I hope you are able to participate. If you are wanting to compete, I hope you're making it in this weekend because it's going to be so much fun. But literally, next podcast episode is going to be a predictions event for the top 8 of EU and NA. It feels like forever since we've gotten to do one of those episodes, and they're my absolute favorites. So,
and it's the thing we're worst at, which is great. It's terrific.
I somehow... I actually feel like my hit rate, whatever, we'll talk about it next time. It'll be a lot of fun. Goodbye, everybody. Chat, don't leave yet. We got something special to talk to you about for the live viewers, but for the podcast, we'll see you all next week.